couple of weeks ago, we started looking at grace. And we looked at grace in the Old Testament. We saw that the word's used a number of times. And sometimes it's used as God looking down at Noah. And Noah found grace in the eyes of God. We saw Joseph finding grace in the eyes of Potiphar, in the eyes of Pharaoh. We found that Esther found favor or grace before the king. And we saw that even a stone might be some, or a beautiful gem might be something that helps us to find that we see favor in. But you get to the New Testament, and everything changes. And it's amazing. So, things change. And Jesus Christ dying on the cross. There is this theme that you find that Jesus talks about. When he died on the cross, things were going to change. And if you would follow him, you would see greater things. And you would experience greater things. And one of those greater things is grace. In the New Testament, when we begin to look at grace, we see that it's something amazing. And the focus turns to the provision of salvation and God's direct work in your life. Sometimes things can be the same thing, but in different situations, they change. I like studying things and learning about things. And there's this gas that people didn't know about for a long, long time that we all know about and we understand today. I mean, if I told you something about it, you'd think, oh, yeah, I know stuff about that gas. But for a long time, it was a mystery to mankind. And that's helium. Helium's very light. And we put it in balloons and we give it to children, even though it's very dangerous for them. That's why most helium balloons aren't strictly helium balloons, because if kids sucked on those to try and make their voice squeak, they'd probably end up dead. So we don't fill helium balloons with just helium. But helium, it's really kind of neat. And I know my son knows where I'm talking about this, because he's kind of been looking at helium when you begin to cool helium down. Now, helium is normally, what is it? What state is it? Is it solid, liquid, gas? It's a gas. But like anything, you can liquefy it. You got to get it really, 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 really cold to liquefy it. About 5 Kelvin. Anybody know how cold? Now, that's like the average temperature of the universe, which is really cold. It's like negative 268 degrees Celsius. But that's when helium becomes liquid. And it takes a lot of work to get helium liquefied. But if you could get helium colder than liquid, you would all of a sudden, helium, it goes through this change. A couple degrees after it liquefies, it becomes a superfluid. And all of a sudden, like, its properties completely change. You can't stop it. It is going to flow, and a substance, nothing can stop it from flowing. But at the same time, it still can spin a propeller without passing through the propeller. It's an amazing, amazing substance. And some of the things that it does just baffle everything that you understand about the laws of chemistry and physics. And it, as you begin to look at it, you go, wow, that's because you can no longer hold it in a container because it's just going to pour through the container. Like the container is not even there. And it becomes what they call a superfluid. You cannot resist its flow. But at the same time, It has some resistance to flow. And scientists go, I just don't understand what this is. And I think about grace. You know, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, there was this idea that there is grace where someone superior, you know, great word grace has this idea. And we put it in simple terms to try and understand it. Mercy is God withholding from us what we do deserve. But God is giving us good things that we don't deserve. And I have no problem with that. But grace, God gave people in the Old Testament, before Jesus Christ died on the cross, God showed grace, his favor. You know, the favor of someone supremely superior to them, going out of their way to help them and to show kindness to them, even when they didn't earn it. We see it all the time through the Old Testament. But when Jesus Christ dies on the cross and people like Paul start to talk about grace, and when the New Testament authors talk about grace, they talk about a God who would do anything to work in your life, to give his own life, would move heaven and earth. I'm going to use that phrase again next week. To see that you would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and then he would have a direct impact on the way you live, and it would reflect in your life, and it would make your life acceptable before him. You would see personal benefit in your life, God's favor, and good gifts that come from heaven. And that is just something that God says, hey, I'm offering grace to you, and it is one of the amazing gifts that I give the church. And I'm so thankful for grace. This morning, we talked about double problems, double the miracles, right? And one of the great things is that we as a group of believers have in our life that we can count on is grace. And maybe you're sitting here today and you're like, I don't know the grace of God. I don't understand this because I don't see God at work in my life. I say, get talking to people. Call people up on the phone and say, hey, will you pray for me? Will you help me? What God, and get calling out to God and other believers and pray. Just pour your heart out to God because God wants to pour his grace out in your life abundantly. Get in the Word of God and pray and get close to the Savior, and you will see his grace at work in your life. Pastor Baker loved grace, and this week we're going to talk about daily grace. Next week we're going to talk about eternal grace in the New Testament. But as we look at the daily grace, Pastor Baker always said, and I had to go back to him today, he said, the biblical definition of grace is Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. You know, he said this over and over again. He quoted us. He tried to get us to quote it. I don't know if we ever figured that out, but I just know that he came back to this verse and back to this verse, where it says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And I think that idea drifted more towards this idea of the daily grace that God bestows on us. When we are going through those daily problems in life, and this superior God of the universe looks at his children with kindness, and he says, I'm going to work in your life so that you can see that I'm at work and I am doing something awesome. And we thank God for his daily amazing grace that he gives us. So as we look at this New Testament grace, and this week we want to focus on and we want to look at daily grace. So this is the grace we need when the problems come our way. When we have an argument with someone on the phone, and we need God to step in and help us through the situation. We heard Dave Sampson say, talk about how he's thankful for the Parkinson's because that's allowed him to spend the time and to focus on the concert ministry that has been a blessing to hundreds, and many people have come to the kingdom of God through that. What he has experienced through that is God's daily grace. It was God's daily grace that had some Canadians stop by Fred's truck and help him get home. It was daily grace that helps us through these trying times. And when we're tested and tried, and we see God conforming us to the image of his Son. And so let's look at some of these instances of daily grace. First of all, we got to talk about the source of our daily grace and what makes grace so amazing. Now, I talked just a minute ago about helium. And helium, if we had helium here, you know, it'd be wanting to float out of the room the whole time, and you'd have to contain it. I don't have the means, the time, or the knowledge, even though I could probably try to explain the process to you of how to get helium down to a liquid. I couldn't give you a visual demonstration. I don't have enough money in my back pocket to be able to perform that type of experiment to do that. But it takes quite a lot of work to be able to get helium down to a liquid and then down to a superfluid, and it's kind of an amazing thing. I'd encourage you, if you ever get a chance to, if you want to see God's creation at work in a marvelous and amazing way, you know, look at somebody experimenting with helium-2, helium superfluid. That's pretty neat stuff. But when I think about that, maybe I'm reminded of grace, because the source of that amazing grace. Because I could say, I could be gracious to you. Sometimes I tell my students that. I'm like, hey, I'm being gracious to you in this grade when they've come to me before. And I say, I was very gracious in that 85 I gave you. It could have been a little bit lower, but you found that my grace is a whole lot different than God's grace, right? And the source of this New Testament amazing grace is Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the source of New Testament grace. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In verse 17. Says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That grace that we sing about, we sang a song tonight, grace that exceeds our sin and our grace, God's grace that is greater than all your sin. That's the source of that is Jesus Christ. We need to be thankful that he gave us this amazing grace. The second thing I'd like us to think about today as we think about the amazing grace that is that it's grace that has brought us to this place. Let's turn over our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 10, it says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. As you're sitting here tonight and you're praising the Lord and you're saying, I see God at work in my life and I see the great things that God is doing in my life on a daily basis, and I'm thankful that he's leading me through the problems. It's the grace of God that's carried us through. It's the grace of God that has brought us here. And as if this is your church home and this is your church family, and you being here is just an amazing, it's grace that brought you here. It's grace that put you in this place. And if you're going in a hard time right now and things are difficult, it's grace that will bring you through. God is not only, Jesus Christ is not only the source of this great grace that the church has for every day. Not only is it grace that has brought us through the difficult time to bring us to where we are in life, grace is abundantly given to us for good works. So as we serve the Lord and as we grow in him, we see that grace is going to be bestowed upon us abundantly. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. What is it that you desire to serve the Lord in doing? And there are lots of ways that all of you can serve the Lord, and the things that we can be doing for the Lord. As we go to serve him, and as we live our days, God is going to bestow upon us grace abundantly for each good work. And he I love the words that we have in here. Always having all sufficiency. I love it that God is sufficient to meet our daily need.
Amen.
And if we just turn over that grace, Paul loved to talk about grace and grace being sufficient for what we needed. It's all sufficient daily grace. And let's turn over just a couple of pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's look at verses 8 and 9. And I think this really fits with what we are talking about this morning as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's start in verse 7. It says, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I, being exalted above measure, concerning this thing I pleaded with the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Our God supplies us with grace for each new day and for each new problem. Like I said this morning, I think it really fits tonight. If we have double the problems, we're going to see double the miracles. We have double the trials, we're going to get a double portion of God's grace. The more problems God's given you, that means the more grace he's going to be pouring into your life. He's going to be working in your life as a believer for his good pleasure. So just if you see problems coming and you see that things seem bigger, that know that God's grace is sufficient to meet the need. And you can rely on that. And you can go to the throne of, there's a reason we call it the throne of grace, that we can find mercy and help in the time of need. We need to, if we want to serve the Lord, we need his grace. We have problems, we have trials, we have tribulations. in our life. We need to be praying for daily grace. Let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We need to pray for God's grace. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I said this morning, I said, I don't know, I shared with you guys a number of the problems that I had this week, and I heard some of your guys' problems. You shared them with me. You shared them with each other. But I don't know what you're going to face this week. And I don't have all the answers, and your friends don't have all the answers. Your spouse doesn't have all the answers. Dr. Phil doesn't even have all the answers. But God has all-sufficient grace in time of need. He knows the problems you're going to face. He knows the miracles that He's going to supply to get you through it. And He will see you through to the other side. Pray for His amazing grace. Serve Him with grace. You'll see something magnificent. Next time you see a helium balloon floating up in the sky, I'd like you to think about that. Oh, that's neat. I'd like you to think about the fact that if you were to cool that down and cool it down and cool it down and cool it down, all of a sudden it becomes something totally different, amazing, that defies everything that we understand about a liquid or about a substance. Like if it's a liquid and you pour it into a container, it passes right through the container like the container is not there. That's why they call it a superfluid. And it begins to bubble and boil, and all of a sudden it's just like it's not even there, but it's really strange. Grace is something that we understand. Grace is something that teacher shows to you, or your parents, or someone in the church is very gracious to you. You have a gracious host. But the grace that Paul talks about, that God gives you, the grace that you need when your world is falling apart, when there's so many problems, the grace that pulls you through, the grace that we sing about when we sing about amazing grace, is something totally different, given to us by Jesus Christ. And it goes beyond anything that we could understand. It helps us serve Him. It helps us deal with trials. It lets us go to His throne and ask Him for our deepest needs. And so when we think about grace, we need to talk about grace more. We need to share it with our neighbors, with our friends, with our church family. And we need to say, hey, this week I saw the grace of God when He did this for me. I had this problem, but the grace of God carried me through. And I bet you if we start talking about it more, we'll begin to recognize it more. We'll begin to see it more. And wouldn't we love it if as a church, one of the things we said, we have an amazing God who gave us so much grace this week, and we all knew what we were talking about. Because it's God that works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Let's pray. Thank You for grace. Lord, I thank You for Your amazing grace. And forever, and I mean that quite literally, God, I understand Your word I understand that forever we will be singing about the amazing grace of God. And I pray that this week, as we see problems, we see you doing miracles, and we see the grace of God poured out on us abundantly, that you will work in a way that we will take notice that is your grace poured out on us. And Lord, that grace can't even be contained in our life, but it will spread to those around us, and the testimonies will just flow out as we see a grace that is greater than anything we could imagine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.